League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and good evening from Llandudno. Llandudno. Did I say that right? Llandudno.
Llandudno.
Llandudno. Yeah, there's nothing worse than an Englishman trying to say Llandudno, is there? No, nothing worse. So, welcome to M Sports Service Park. We are here. This is Autosport's preview to Rally GB, Wales Rally GB. And joining me, obviously, is Elvin Evans, former winner 2 years ago, winner of this rally. So welcome home.
Yeah, thanks. Obviously, it's really nice to obviously be back and ready to compete here at home. Obviously, two, 3 months ago, it was doubtful when I'd be back, to be honest. But obviously, thankfully, got the green light and obviously really happy to be here.
And it's such a big deal, isn't it? I mean, missing three rallies is hard enough, but the prospect of missing this one would really have hurt.
Yeah, I think on two sides of the coin, really. You know, one that obviously it's the home rally and you always want to do it. But secondly, you know, if you missed four rallies and there's only two left in the year, you know, you'd feel like you've missed such a massive chunk then. At least now we have three rallies to get our teeth into.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's jump straight in to Rally GB. I saw you on the recce today at lunchtime. And tell us about the stages. How are they looking?
Yeah, on the whole, really, really good, to be honest. Especially the Saturday stages are in exceptional condition, to be honest. Year on year, I think we see, like, it's the best we've seen. But like Dovey especially is very, very fast. Sunday stages as well, looking pretty good. The first day, I think, could be a little bit tricky. That first stage in LC is new note for everyone. Very technical and narrow stage. So a bit of a different day for at least the start of Friday.
It's kind of nice though, isn't it? Well, LC is a tricky, it's kind of a parkland stage, lots of much more technical twisty, but then Pemagno opens out a bit and then you've got Dovenant, which is, I mean, that's a classic, isn't it, Dovenant?
Yeah, it definitely is. Obviously a bit of a longer variation this year again than what we had last year. Again, really, really nice stage.
Yeah, and then what can we expect? We saw you win 2 years ago, an amazing victory, you know, really emotional win at home. What's possible, do you think, from you this time, coming off the back of, you know, your last time you sat in the car and competed was Estonia in June or July, I can't remember which. What do you reckon?
Let's see how it goes. We're doing everything we can to do as well as we can. There's no sort of trying to bet ourselves in or anything like that. We're just trying to go for it and see what happens. Obviously, it'd be really nice to win again, but obviously we know that, you know, the competition is hot and everything has to go your way, but ultimately you have to aim for that first place and the top step of the podium.
And it's kind of difficult, isn't it, because you're jumping back into the middle of a massive championship fight. You know, there's three guys at the front that are absolutely hammer and tongs, and 2-3 weeks ago they were doing that in Turkey. Does that make it easier for you to jump back in, or do you just forget that and just get on with what you're doing?
I think we have to just concentrate on what we're doing. I had a test end of last week and the feeling was pretty good with it. Or I think so long as we can find our rhythm and things early on, then there's no reason why we can't fight up on it.
Yeah, and just one last question from me before, because Elvin has to go to set your lights up. Who's going to win the championship?
I'm not going to bet against Oit at the moment. He's looked obviously very strong all year. But then Seb has this massive habit of making a comeback, doesn't he? So, like, it's a difficult one to call. Obviously, Thierry's right there as well. If I had to put any money, I'd probably have to put it on Oit.
Yeah, okay. Now, we've got some questions from you, the readers, watchers, viewers, whatever. Neil Parry has asked, What are the chances of a podium from your starting position? That's a pretty relevant question, isn't it? You're obviously a bit further down, ninth on the road.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the conditions, basically. You know, it could work very much against us. We've seen it some years here where the timesheets tumble by 3 or 4 seconds with every car that passes. You know, if that's the case, then it's obviously going to be difficult. But then last year, we were also sat second overall, starting at the back of the field after the first loop. So, you know, we can't assume that because we're at the back that we're not going to be in with a shot. We just have to go in, do the best job we can and see what happens at the end.
Yeah, okay. With a night stage in Aberhernant, have you been able to practice driving in the dark?
Yes, I managed not a huge amount, but some night running on the test. The marshals were kind enough to stay on to let me do some night driving. So yeah, that was all good. And hopefully if we can get these lights set up correctly now, then it should be okay. But Aberhernant is a fast stage to do in the dark.
Yeah, it is a great one. Well, you've mentioned it. You go off and set your lights up. Actually, you're not going to do it right now because hopefully you're not going to move the car while we're on. But you've got a lot of other stuff to crack on with. So, Alvin, thank you very much. We wish you all the best. Okay. Tamu is coming in now. I'm going to switch position. Tamu, we've got another mic, actually. Have we got another mic? Because we have been joined, Deep Joy, by Hayden Padden as well. First question, we were just talking about Aberhernant. Dark stage on Saturday night. How difficult, Tamu, we'll start with you, how difficult is it to drive a stage in the dark?
It's of course more difficult because you cannot see that much and that long distances. So you really need to trust your pace notes and just follow more the pace notes and that's it.
Yeah, we've seen some really good performances from you here in the past, coming through the R5 car and into the World car. Tell me about that step up from the R5 car to the World car. How difficult is it on an event like this?
I would say it's pretty big steps. In WRC2, of course, there's pretty good drivers and the level of the drivers are really high. But I would say in WRC we are going all the stages on the limits. And if you make some mistakes, you cannot think that in the next stage you are going to catch them.
No.
That's never going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. And sorry to say, Hayden, you've taken that step in the opposite direction, World car down to the R5 car, but it's all with it, you know, there's a means to an end there, isn't there? That, you know, the ultimate is to get back into a World Rally car next year, but you've tested the R5 car. Did you get a day?
Yeah, we've done one day in it. It's actually really hard to go back to the R5, so, you know, this weekend's really just about getting some miles back in the seat, do some rallies again, but adjusting back to, you know, no power, no aero. Obviously, it's a good base for the R5 car, but when you get used to the WRC car for so many years, to come back to this is actually really, really difficult.
Yeah, I mean, the aero, do you notice the aero much here on this event?
Yeah, like a lot on the fast, and, you know,
yeah,
day one not so much, but day two here is generally quite fast stages, and even though it's covered in mud, it's still working a lot. So, on the R5, you obviously don't have that benefit.
Okay, now you boys are going to do your lights as well, but just before you go, tell us about Australia. What can we expect from you? Obviously, you're in the Fiesta World Rally Car in Australia. What's possible, do you think, there?
Well, just to go drive as fast as we can and enjoy it. Obviously, when you've spent a year out of the seat at that level, it's going to be hard to slot right back in at the top. Obviously, we want to be there, but you've got to be realistic as well. So just do the best job we can and go and enjoy it.
And do you think, are we going to have weather as good as this in Australia?
Be better.
Really?
All the good weather comes from New Zealand, you see, so it'd be perfect.
Sorry, I forgot about that. And a quick prediction, Tamu, where are you going to finish on Sunday?
Top six. Not hoping more.
Come on, top three.
Top three. Got to go for top three. Okay, boys, you go and do your lights. Thank you very much. We have Mr. Petter Solberg.
Hello.
Four-time.
How are you?
Four-time winner.
Hello.
And how are you, buddy? Oliver Solberg, Petter Solberg.
Are we standing correctly? Or?
Are they standing correctly? Yep. Yeah. If we look down there, boys, we can see face camera. So the cameras are there, but that's what everybody else can see. So who should we start with? Who's most important?
You should have taken shave before you take this interview, you know.
I didn't have time. There's no time for
Some
shaving.
Tell me that you have plenty of time.
I usually tell my that it looks cooler with a beard.
Do you think?
Yes.
Does it?
You don't have a beard.
No.
It's coming. It's coming. But what about me? Do I look cooler?
Yes.
Yeah? That's good. So let's start with Papa Solberg.
Yep.
Four-time winner of this rally. Mixed emotions. I mean, you've got your kind of, it's the farewell tour. We've learned a lot about that this year. But, it's great to be back in GB, isn't it?
Well, this rally is it's very special. You know, first of all, you know, to have the first victory here, and also win the world championship, won the most races here. After a year, and then having
he ruined that last year, didn't he?
Yeah, he did actually. Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And then having Phil Mills as a co-driver, also a local hero. All these things together, it's making this very, very special, you know. And this is one many other reasons why we also end our tour here in Rally GB. It's a lot of pressure on, you know, to perform for sure, but we will do the best we can.
But also, I mean, above that, you've got Oliver, who we should perhaps move to Oliver very briefly for just one question. It was a big week last week. Tell us what happened last week.
I've never been so nervous in my life, I can tell you. With the driving test, you know, all the pressure going on, already signed on for Wales almost. So trying to pass that driving test, I was very, very nervous before. But I made it on the second time on the written test and the first time on the driving test.
What do you think? Just we will move on from this very quickly. What do you remember the question that you got wrong in the theory? Can tell all of the people who are watching out there, if you're in Sweden, don't get this question wrong.
It's a little bit embarrassing because you can have these statistics after. Yeah. And I was correct on the environment.
Yeah.
I was correct on rules. But the one thing I was wrong on was the car.
Really?
The things on the car, yes. The alarms and stuff.
Seriously?
That was embarrassing, yes.
Did you do a written test?
Yeah, I did a written test. I did mine straight away.
But your mum doesn't say than me. So. Your mum doesn't say so.
Well, what after I remember, I think I did it straight away, yeah. You don't believe me, but I think I did actually.
I'm sure we never had these in England. We probably do now. But anyway, moving on. I just wanted to ask you how we've talked about the pressure of the farewell tour, but you've also got Oliver here, and you know you're running behind Oliver.
I'm not sure.
We don't know yet, really.
You're 53, 54.
Tomorrow, 54, 55.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think he is. You know how it looks like now. I think stage tomorrow. You are in front of me.
So that's good. You can follow his lines.
First of all, you know I'm very. First of all, I'm very excited for my own race. For sure, but I'm nervous for his race.
Yeah.
And to have him in front of me, I think when I flash his lights and he have to move over to the right, and I pass him.
but how will it be though when you're sat behind him and you watch him go into the stage, because you have got 2 minutes maybe to focus on your own thing? Can you stop thinking about Oliver?
Well, I want to do a good race myself, to be honest with you. But I haven't. I drove 30Ks with Oliver's car last weekend, and Volkswagen made a new car for me that I tested now on Monday with 45Ks. I feel like, you know, to get the pace notes in and trust them and really attack on it, you know, it takes a little bit of time. I think I'll be faster through the race, but I don't think I will keep up properly with all the drivers from the start. But I will have fun, and to hear Phil's voice again also, it's fantastic. The fun we had on the recce, and
really?
The stories, and you know, Phil have quite dry humor, you know, and he's coming with his brown shoes, you know, very English, and you know, it's
he's Welsh.
He's actually a British flag on his car now. He was not happy.
Yeah,
I
not
tell
pleased
you.
About that. Yeah, not
I
pleased.
Talk to Pernilla, I said.
Same for my co-driver. He wants the Irish flag, but he didn't want the English one.
That's nothing to do with me. No. But
anyway,
moving on. How's it going to be for you? In fairness, you talk about you've had maybe 70K in the car this year. You've had a bit more, and you've certainly had a lot more success this year, haven't you?
I've driven a lot, that's for sure. It's been a lot of stage miles, and also driven the Subaru in America. Also, it's been a lot of driving, but you know, a new rally, a new experience with roads, conditions, and
it's difficult conditions.
It's very difficult conditions, I have to say. I didn't expect this difficult when I drove the recce. Okay, I knew it was difficult, but not this difficult. So I don't really have any expectations, really. I just want to learn.
How difficult, you've driven a lot of GBs, how difficult is this one compared to the others in terms of grip and conditions?
Well, I must say that the only part I remember from early days is the sweet lamp part, not the stage, but the part around Sweet Lamb.
Bowl
area. The rest for me, I've never driven before, so it's very different compared with the early days. But again, you know, the weather will change today. It's been great. Yesterday was big rain, fog. So
you know, this is the thing. You can't go drive 110% all the time. You know, you have to have this margin, especially for Oliver. He needs that margin. I say that now on the interview because now he will listen. Because if I say it back in the hotel, no,
he won't be listening. Yeah.
So I think this small margin because of the grip level and the mud, you know, that the WRC car brings to the side, so you can't drive the proper line as you normally want. So the corners sometimes will be tighter. So. Well, we will see. But I think, like Oliver say, it is going to be difficult in the forest and around the trees and these bridges and this tarmac. And, you know, it's a lot of different things. But it's good experience. And you just have to understand that you have to just learn. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And that, I mean, that aspect of the fact that the road condition gets worse and worse. Quite fortunately, fortuitously, you had the STPR. STPR?
Then I
was it?
First on the road.
So
so it's very different.
It was a rally in America 2 or 3 weeks ago, and obviously you won it because you win all the rallies in America these days, driving for Subaru. But did that help that you had the changeable conditions? I know you were first on the road, but it was a chance.
I have to say, I haven't driven in proper Wales weather before that, so getting that experience was good for this rally. And I have to say, one of the stages here looks exactly as one of the stages in America.
Really?
It was like coming home almost. Wow. You know, it felt exactly the same, and the conditions looks very similar, so at least one stage I have some experience from weather.
Yeah. Okay, now I think the question everybody out there wants to know is, which Solberg is going to finish first? That was a nervous laugh. Oh, crikey, I forgot about Henning as well.
He's not driving now.
No, he's not coming. You know, he is on the entry list every race. You know, and sometimes he's driving and sometimes not. So even we don't know. You know, my parents are here and they don't know.
A real shame because he is an entertainer, isn't he?
Yeah, obviously.
We're talking about Petter's brother and Uncle Henning to you. And I guess Pontus, well, exactly.
In one of these cars, actually.
Pontus, in a World Rally car. We'll give him, he probably is going to be a bit quicker than you boys, but between the two of you, tell me.
I'll say my dad, because of experience. No pressure.
Oh, I hope it will be me, for sure.
And what do we think, in terms of WRC 2, what's possible there? I mean, there's a good, strong field.
Well,
Could you win that?
I don't think so. If you look at, you know, it's 27 cars, isn't it, total? And you have the pro and the normal WRC 2. But for us, you have to look at the whole list. You know, I think it's to cut it up like that, I don't like everybody or nobody, you know. And I think, you know, when you have Padden and Rowan Pera Kopecky and all this guy with Ösberg, and it's going to be very hard. The guys have a lot of experience, so... Let's have this fun weekend, and hopefully Oliver will do a lot of World Championship rounds next year. But this rally is very, very special for us, for the history, and also between us, that love of rallying, you know. And that, hopefully be here for many, many more years, yeah.
But that's the point, isn't it? You know, it's a big family weekend out, really, isn't it? And we don't need to get too caught up on the fact that, you know, you're chasing Hayden Padden, any of that. Just it's experience. And it's a great way to say goodbye to GB.
Yeah, we have a lot of people here this weekend that coming from all over, and also especially Norway. And I think always Wales is very, very emotional, and it will be definitely very emotional on Sunday afternoon.
Hopefully.
I hope. Yeah. I really hope.
But it is, because, you know, you are, your name and everything that you did, you know, four wins back to back, you're loved around here. And, you know, it's for a good reason, because, you know, you're a character. And sometimes some people might say there's not too many characters in our sport now, but you understand the fact that it's a show, isn't it? It's not just a sport.
Yeah, everything is to create something. First of all, you have to have a plan and strategy for winning, you know, that's the thing, you know, but also the enjoyment for the show and the entertainment. But the focus is first of all result, but let everybody else be a part of this, you know. And that's why we're here. We have done this for many, many years, and again, I just have to say, you know, if it wasn't for Malcolm Wilson that time, I must say, I wouldn't have been standing here now and talk about a lot of good histories and stuff, because I think he is maybe the only guy that understands that to create young drivers and build them up and risk something for the future. And Full credit. Maybe I didn't think so much about it that time because you're young and you are so hyped and ready. But, you know, when you get older, you understand that he have the right philosophy of a sport to create winners. And he should have a lot of credit for that.
He should. And it, unfortunately, he is stuck on the motorway. He should be here with us, but he's stuck in traffic. But yeah, I think that's about it, boys. All I can say is have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. Really enjoy yourself.
Thank you so much for joining Autosport. We are now going to go to a pre-recorded piece to talk to Gus Greensmith about the difference between an R5 car and a World Rally car. So we'll be back shortly after that. Gus, welcome.
Thank you.
It's not the new R5 now. It's been around for a couple of months. The R5 Fiesta R5 Mark II. It's a car that you had. Tell us the huge involvement that you had with this car.
Yeah, I think that was one of the most positive sides to my year so far, being entrusted with so much of the car. And basically, I did pretty much all of the rough gravel work and then quite a lot of tarmac. So, yeah, I did a good chunk of the development. And I'm glad to say as soon as I got in the car on rough gravel, we won. So I think I did a decent job in that that respect. But obviously, there's some other things that we need to work on. But we've done some more tests recently, and it's fairly obvious to me what needs to be done. And the team thinks so, too. So as soon as we get the parts, everything should be good.
Okay, well, let's take a look. I mean, the idea tonight is to compare the R5 car here with the World Rally car, which, of course, you've driven three times this year, and sensational World Rally car debut for you in Portugal and then Finland and Germany. But starting from the front of the R5 car, talk me through it. The engine's a good place to start. How does the engine differ in this car that you'll drive from the one that you'd really like to be driving?
Yeah, so on the restrictors that we have obviously vary. The WRC being a bigger restrictor, we have 380 brake horsepower in the WRC car, and I think it's 300 or 290 in this car. So considerably less performance. But then, funnily enough, from the work that was done in-house at M Sport and also for performance, we actually have more torque in the WRC 2 car than we do in the WRC car. So in this, we're producing 475 newton meters of torque, which for a 1.6 engine is fairly incredible. So it's a very easy car to drive.
You'll feel that as well. I mean, coming out of some of the slow, there's more punch out of the hairpin than you in this in the R5.
Yeah, the torque base is basically the power of the engine, the turning power of the engine, and you feel it coming out of slow corners, especially when you've maybe just gone in maybe a little too hot. You're just kind of falling out of like the power band, the torque there to keep it going. So it's a more drivable car, especially if you make a mistake. It's more forgiving, and then also it's much greater for customers who want to enjoy the car learning. It allows you to make a few more mistakes but still keep performance, and then once you're really ringing it just the time just seeps like every tenth, a tenth, a tenth here and there. And then you think it's not much, but by the end of the stage, it can amount to 10 seconds sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's a massive difference.
Okay, so moving back, there's a wheel off handily here. Looking at suspension, from my understanding, this is one of the major areas that the R5 does differ from the world car.
Yeah, obviously, all the R5 cars are restricted on budget, so they can only cost a certain unit price. So everything's tailored to that, so we can decide where we spend more money than other places. But yeah, this is one of the areas where there's the biggest difference between WRC car and the R5. There isn't a terrible amount of difference in terms of the way it's put together, but the components and the ability to change them in amount of time is much shorter in WRC car than it is on this. So yeah.
And am I right in thinking, I know when R5 first came out, these are interchangeable from corner to corner, the dampers?
Yes, pretty much, yeah.
So, I mean, that's a huge saving, isn't it? Because on the world car, they are bespoke to a corner.
Yeah, it's like going from a fine detail to an incredibly precise detail, a level of detail. It just, as you would expect, as you go to a pinnacle of a motorsport, and WRC in this era they're in now, everything is just, it's bespoke to every single part of the car. Which obviously this needs to fit a budget and for people to affordably run through a championship, which is what this category does.
But we'll perhaps move to the world car in a sec, but inside, can you, obviously, when you fire it up and get going, you can tell the difference, but seating position, everything in there is the same between the two cars?
Well, for me, when it was particularly my input in the car, and not necessarily a massive amount of change because we were already on the same page as the engineers, but for me, an important thing of the car is having a similar feel to how it does feel in a WRC car. It's a very special environment to be in, and you don't want to just sit in something that's, you don't want to add excess weight, but you want it to feel as if it's something rather special. So for me, and looking at a customer's point of view, I was always pushing for this quite hard. And for me, I think it's the best cockpit out of any WRC2 car at the moment. The seating position is brilliant. It's flat. You're low. Center of gravity is lower. And steering wheel is functional. For me, it just seems to work. But obviously, you get in a WRC car and you realize that you go from a car to a spaceship. So
yeah. Well, let's go and take a look at that spaceship right now. I think, I mean, the good place to start really immediately with the World Car is the biggest visual difference, which is the aero, isn't it? I mean, it just gives you, I mean, how much more downforce? Is it quantifiable? Could you tell us?
Yeah, it's with the WRC2 car, we're kind of limited. Well, we're not kind of, we are limited with downforce. We have a small rear wing, which does a little bit. You will notice it, but it doesn't do a massive amount. As soon as you start to drive a WRC car on the limit and you start to use aero, it makes a huge difference. Places like Finland, any high-speed rally, you just don't realize exactly how much further you can go, how much faster you can go into these corners.
And I mean, if we could take a look, perhaps it's not ideal. Maybe we'll go around to Tamu's car, actually, because there's some lights on in there, so we'll be able to show a little bit easier. But just have a look at the rear wing, and perhaps if you could just talk us through some of the intricacies, because it's not just an ironing board or a surfboard on the back here, is it? There's a lot of detail in here.
No, and it's a very expensive piece. It's full carbon fiber, and obviously it has regulations that it has to fit to, or it can't. The top of the spoiler can't exceed the top of the roof of the car, so the height's limited. So everyone at Ford Performance has basically designed it to create the max amount of downforce in working with the rear diffuser, and then also the front aero pieces, as well as the parts that go along the side of the car. So it all works in tangent to create the best amount, the greatest amount of downforce we can without having too much drag.
But a lot of this, I mean, areas here, these that we're looking at, the front wing here, there's a huge kind of, this is for the podcast because obviously you can't see what we're talking about, but there's a huge hole at the back of what would be an extended wheel arch. That's to pull hot air out of the wheel arch.
Yeah, the low pressure flaps is just to force the air out of the flap. We don't want stagnant, turbulent air there. We want it out. We want it moving along the car. We want it producing the downforce. So it's a very simple but effective way to solve that.
And it sends it out straight onto these
yeah,
fins,
flaps.
These flaps, sorry, flaps, yeah. And fins.
I forget the names of them too.
So that, I mean, that's the aero. And I think we've covered the engine. Could we get a quick look inside?
Yeah.
I think we dare open the door.
I don't think you can fire me for opening a door.
So you can, I mean, immediately you can see there's a lot more buttons on the wheel in this spaceship, isn't there?
Yeah, that's the seating position feels fairly similar. What you have around you feels fairly similar. Maybe it feels a bit smaller, a bit tighter, but at the end of the day, it is just far more advanced. You have more components to work with, more buttons, more parameters to play with. And that's when you realize you're stepping into a WRC car. And then obviously you click the start button on the steering wheel and you know that you are in a WRC car.
And certainly when you drop the clutch.
Exactly.
It absolutely confirms it. Well, that's superb, Gus. Thank you very much for telling us. Now, just before we leave you, a quick prediction for what can we expect from you this week?
Well, obviously coming off the win in Turkey, we're in a good position. I'd like not to win the way that I did in Turkey, but that can be the only aim. We obviously, in the faster stages, we struggle slightly more for the moment until we can get the upgrades. But thankfully, the rain's been coming down. Stages are incredibly slippery, so I think that should play into our advantage. So I feel that we can have a really strong weekend. So we'll aim for the win, and we'll work with whatever happens. Thank you.
So, there we are. We found out all about the differences between the R5 car and the World Rally car. Welcome back, obviously, to Autosport's preview to Wales Rally GB, live from M Sport's beautiful service park. It's still good weather in the last hour. The weather hasn't changed. But I have been joined by team principal Richard Milner. Richard, weather is a good place to start. You're always a good man.
Only my mum calls me Richard.
Really?
Yeah, when I've done something
Rich.
Wrong. Yeah.
Dick?
Yes.
Dick? No, not Dick, sorry.
Not Dick.
Let's ignore that bit. Weather.
Yes.
What do we expect?
Typical Welsh, I think. And
sunshine?
Yeah, 35 degrees and sunshine.
No, it's been fairly fairly wet in the recce, you know, a lot of rain, and that maybe doesn't affect the gravel stages so much because of the soakaways, but it certainly will make things a bit tricky, especially on stages that are a bit more muddy and less kind of stony based. But it looks like some Hurricane Lorenzo or something is on its way here, or the remnants of it, and that will probably...
Lorenzo's always welcome here, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I know. We haven't got him in person, but we've got him in spirit by the looks of things. And no, I think that it looks... the weather report looks really mixed.
Yeah.
I think not necessarily going to be full on rain.
I'm sorry for this. There's a bit of barracking going on from the Solbergs over here. They need to leave the building.
I agree with them. There's a 10-year-old here who's outshone you in his interviewing skills.
It's not difficult. It's not difficult.
No, I think the weather will be... it will be one of those situations where you're probably caught in a heavy shower, or you could be okay. So that's just another thing to add into the mix. But it's not quite the same as on tarmac. But like we saw in Turkey, you know, a real heavy shower can really affect your stage if you're caught in the wrong place.
But as well as the rain, you know, we've got Aberhirnant on Saturday night. Last time that was in, 2-3 years ago, we saw real big changes in times with the fog coming down. It goes... I think there's maybe parts of Meherrin that are higher, but Aberhirnant is very high, and fog's a huge issue there, isn't it, when the mist comes down?
Yeah, Alvin wants to look. Here he goes. Ready?
You're walking through the camera, man! There's Alvin, still hasn't done his lights.
Yeah, because we're stood in front of his car.
Oh yeah, good point. Sorry!
No, I think, you know, that's another challenge in GB. We don't get many night stages anymore, true night stages, and the fog can really show who's up for the fight and who's not. And it's going to be a critical point in the championship for the three guys that are pushing for the overall victory, and for, you know, there's a handful of people that could win here. I think you go to some rallies and you can kind of guess, or not guess, but you can have a good strong feeling on who might do well. But Wales is always one where it's really difficult to tell. And
is Elvin amongst those?
Yeah, of course. I think I'm not even being biased, you know. He's got form. He's won the event before in tricky conditions. That year he won in there was the night stage there that was incredibly foggy, and he came out, and you know, that was where we were all worried, thinking, is he going to drop all the time? He's done all the hard work to get this lead, and he came out of there and said it was one of the most difficult stages of his life to drive. But it paid off. But you have to take huge risks to be able to do that. And, you know, this weather and this time of the year is going to be a big challenge for everyone.
It is. And so much of this event is about confidence, isn't it? And understanding the grip, reading the road, knowing and being able to commit to what you can see, because it changes from corner to corner so dramatically in terms of what you've got under the car. But Alvin has got that, you know, and that's one of the things I've seen this year is, okay, he's been out for the last three rallies, but he's a different guy now. You know, he's got the experience, and he's backed himself, hasn't he? We really saw that in 17 when he won that first WRC round, and now the self-belief's there. And I quite agree that it's very difficult for any driver to go away for three rallies and come back. But on your home round, where you've got that extra belief,
yeah,
it's possible.
It was a real shame for Elvin, because he was at a point where he was coming up to every rally, and we were all thinking, you know, we can actually get a podium here. You're not necessarily saying we're going to win everything, but we can get a podium here. We're in the fight for a good result and an interesting and strong rally. And then we had this disappointment where he's had to miss three rallies, and now you come back, you know, you get back in the mind frame, right, we need to be 100% focused on this because we can do well here. And, you know, like you're saying, the conditions here are pretty bespoke to this rally, but at the same time,
is he right ready to go?
Is,
we could include
we're just
that.
Stand it just sure. To annoy him.
No, well, why don't we let him go and we could do the actual departure live on Autosports? Should we do that?
A first. A world first. Setting your lights in Wales, 2019.
A driver going out to set up their lights. Come on, Elvin, you're on.
In you get. You can don't go stall now. It, because that... don't stall it, that will be embarrassing.
Are you going on your own? Do you know where you're going? Hey? Hey?
He doesn't know where he's going. He's a driver.
Do you know, I asked Elvin earlier, what do you need? What's best? And it was a perfect answer. I said, what do you need to set up your lights? What
lights? Sort of?
And he said, darkness. And he's just bang on.
He wasn't lying, was he?
He certainly wasn't.
And he needs the reason he needs a mechanic is because so he can sit in there and just shout at him what he wants him to do, because he ain't going to get out of the car.
Well, actually, while we're waiting for him to go, talk us through, Rich. What's he actually going to do? What can it? How do you adjust? Do you know? Have I caught you out here?
I can make up any answer.
Where is the adjustment in here?
So they can go up, pitch up and down.
Yep.
It's the main adjustment, to be honest. And they will be... he's going to make some noise now. But he'll be basically...
quite noisy. that's actually quite a tricky place to get out of, isn't it, there?
Well,
has he gone the wrong way?
He's trying it. No, Gary told him to go one way and he went the other, so must have been the pressure.
Yeah, drivers aren't good at taking instruction, are they, clearly. So, you mentioned earlier the championship.
Yep.
We've got three drivers. We've got Oit Tanak, 17 points ahead of Sébastien Ogier, who's 13 points ahead of Thierry Neuville. Where does Rich Milner's money go in Australia? Who's going to win it?
Someone asked me this earlier as well, and Thierry is more than capable of winning a championship, and but I think he has probably the hardest job left, you know, being in the position he's in now.
But is his not the most straightforward?
His isn't the most straightforward, because I also said this as well, you know, Hyundai have made it clear that they need to win the manufacturer's title. In some ways, that's a different outlook maybe for the team.
But for Thierry, it's just flat knacker, isn't it? You know, nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose, but you have got something to lose in the fact if you don't get a manufacturer point. So, and there's pressure there, obviously, that's been made clear by Andrea that they need to do well there. So that's hard for him. That's another added challenge for him. Seb, you should never underestimate Seb. We've seen it before. You know, before Turkey, it looked like he was down and out in some ways, and then he's bounced back with a win.
Hold this whole thought. Hold this whole championship thought, because I've just thought of something that's almost more interesting than a championship. Tell me about Ogier. I spoke to Ogier last week or something, and we talked about GB, and he said Saturday morning, it was probably before Tanak had gone out, but he said suddenly he realised he had to do it. He had to push like hell. What was it like? Because obviously he was in your team. What was it like at that moment when he said, this is it, we've just got to go?
You know, it's what you want to hear, because you know your driver's up for it and ready to go. And his instant thinking and saying something like that gets the whole team right, come on, lads, this is it now. We need to concentrate. We need to do this. And, you know, he's somebody who can say that, and you know he can back up what he's saying. So I think when you have support and kind of words like that from a world champion, you do what you need to do. And I think that's why you should never underestimate him, because if he's focused in what he wants to do, he can certainly do what he needs to do, and that's why you shouldn't take him out of this championship battle.
You shouldn't. And I remember, you know, Sunday morning there was a real, it was almost electric in this place when we could see what he could do. And that, you know, going into that final day last year, there were four drivers 10 seconds or something apart, and it was a huge fight. But then the one thing that I keep going back to watch is Goodyear, the last stage, which was the power stage, and then the Great Orme. Sébastien Ogier coming over the Great Orme last year.
Great Orme was fantastic. I came from the service park to here to do some media stuff on the way, so I was listening to it on the radio, and it was a good job no one was like watching what I was doing in the car, because I was going bonkers, because I was like, oh, we're getting closer. And then I think Yari came through first,
yep,
and then Seb came through afterwards, and they were like, oh, they're 4.2 seconds quicker or whatever it was over the Great Orme, and I was just going mad. It was
you just don't do that.
You were like in the car going, yeah, come on, we can do this, you know. Yeah. It's like we've got second run of this and we're only 2.4 seconds difference or something with two stages to go.
Yeah.
And you know, when you have someone that can do that, it's fantastic. So,
and that, I mean, that final run was just, you know, across the curbs, there was nothing left in the thing, was there?
No, I ran around the Great Orme the other night because I've never been.
You should have given me a shout. I could have come with you.
I thought you were ahead of me, I swear. I didn't want to slow you down. And I just, when you know how fast they've gone and what the risks they've taken there, it's amazing to watch. Yeah. It's like anything, you know, when you actually go and see a stage in the real life compared to on the telly, you realise quite how mad they are and how precise they are. And that's I think, this driving style thing in the last 10 years, it's become a lot neater and a lot more different to how it used to be with people throwing the cars around. Mm. When you actually understand how precise they can be at the speed over the whole rally, it's amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is. Right. I think we are almost done. Is there any sign of Mr. Malcolm Wilson? Has he landed? He was stuck in traffic. It doesn't look like it, does it?
No, he's probably quite angry by now, I'd imagine.
He's either quite angry or he's quite happy because he's missed this whole shindig.
He wasn't never stuck in traffic.
Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he's in Burger King down the road.
Not sure of Burger King.
He's not a Burger King kind of guy, is he, really? Let's be honest. Let's finish with your prediction then. Rally and championship. Who and who?
Rally, I think Tanak is going to be difficult to beat here. You know, I think regardless of road position or whatever else people may say, you know, you've seen under pressure this year, he can just put times in if he needs to that are incredible. And I think if he has a trouble-free run, then he's got a real good chance. But I also think both of our two main cars have an equally good chance of at least being on the podium. Championship, I think you have to look at where we are at the minute. And Tanak is probably has the easiest job in terms of being consistent and scoring points for the last three rallies. But like I say, I don't underestimate Sebastian.
No, quite. But I mean, you've worked with Tanak for a few years, and how much would it mean to him? We watched that movie, didn't we? The Oit Tanak movie, and to get an insight into what this whole thing means to him last year was amazing. And you know him very, very well. What would it mean?
I think it would mean everything to him. He's grown up and he's been through the serious ups and the serious downs so far. And I think like anybody who's driving, wants to become a world champion. But I think he's changed as a person in the last couple of years, since he's left us, to a very, very different person. And I think it would just sum up the direction of his career. And if he wins one championship, then there's no doubt he can win more,
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's probably a good time. We are now running out of cars to even look at in the service park as they're all going out. They're all leaving us. There goes Pontus Tiedemann to do his lights as well. So it's a good time to wrap up. Thank you very much. Thank you, Rich.
No problem.
Good luck to you, mate, this week. And thank you very much to everybody who has tuned in and watched the Autosport Live preview to Wales Rally GB live from M Sport's fabulous service park. And thank you to the people who are listening on the podcast. I have to apologise for the last three podcasts, which has been all by myself in a darkened room. We've kind of got past that here. We've brought a few people in. Don't expect the same next week. But thank you very much. And obviously through the weekend, you can keep up to date with the rally on autosport.com and motorsport.com as well. And then next week, don't forget to buy Motorsport News and Autosport. So thank you very much. And if you're coming out, enjoy the rally.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.